You are listening to audio from Riverside Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit riverside.church.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to Riverside. My name's Keith. I'm one of the leaders around here. And isn't it fun to celebrate what God has done this past year? Isn't that fun to see that recap and just celebrate the goodness of God? It's been pretty neat to be a church family together, to be a body of Christ together. Now, when you think about an organization or a group or whatever, every kind of group has some kind of structure, right? Some way as well as distinguishing who their officials are, right? Companies have CEOs and presidents and directors and whatever. And universities have deans and professors and assistant professors and provosts. And the military, right, has colonels and generals and lieutenants. Every organization has a way to connotate who their leaders are and their structure is. This morning, I want to briefly look at a passage of scripture that shows how leadership in the church should look, considering we're about to vote on our next year's slate of elders and then pray over them and commission them. Now, today's passage from the Bible does not borrow from the political world. There's no presidents, there's no vice presidents, there's no dictators, amen. It doesn't borrow from the business world. There's no CEOs, there's no corporate officers, there's no, you know, board of directors that come from the most brilliant minds, no. The military model is not used. The leadership model that is used is one of a family. So that's what we're talking about this morning. Before we do, let's pause, acknowledge God's presence with us, the Spirit is with us. Ask him to guide us as he sees fit through the word. Spirit, thank you that this is your church, bought by the blood of Jesus for the glory of God the Father. Thank you for the work you've done in us and through us. And I pray as we look at your scriptures right now that we would be just yielding to what it is you have for us. I pray that we would really model this, especially the leaders in this church, be it elders, home group leaders, pastors, kids ministry leaders, volunteer leaders. Lord, just would you form us to look more like your son, Jesus. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, feel free to open up to that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll start in verse 1, and this is what it says. You know, brothers and sisters, can you already see the model here, right? You know, brothers and sisters, this is the church, that the foundation is the church is a family of faith. We're a family. We're not an organization. We're a family. Well, family is an organization, but you know what I mean, right? You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you is not without results. By the way, this we as the Apostle Paul and a few companions of him. So we, Paul and his companions, with the help of our God, we dared to tell you of his gospel. So Paul had come here and shared the gospel in the face, though, of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. Now, the background here is if you go to Acts chapter 17, you'll see Paul visited Thessalonica just a few weeks. It was just a few weeks. He visited, he preached the good news of Jesus, and a riot broke out, right? A riot breaks out from the preaching of God's word. Some folks weren't happy about what was going on, about the message of Jesus. So Paul and his friends, they couldn't stay very long. And the critics used this short-lived period of time to kind of undermine Paul's credibility. He was only here for a couple weeks. He doesn't love you. He doesn't care. You can't trust him. They're using his short period of time to undermine his credibility, which is why he then wrote this letter saying, no. Let me shore this up. And so to start out here, we see in Thessalonica, in Thessalonians, there's going to be critics sometimes of church leaders. Paul is being criticized. There will be critics of leadership. And by the way, in the church here at Riverside, it's no different. Now, I don't often get criticized, at least not to my face. Amen? Amen. But when I do, one thing I try to do is not defend myself. A wise pastor many, many years ago, actually I was in Waco, Texas with Ryan and Lisa Rader, and a guy named Jimmy Seibert said when he gets criticized, he doesn't try to defend himself. As other people defend himself, he just says, is there truth in here? In fact, when he gets letters, he says, hey, elders, would you read this letter? And if there's truth in here, would you form me? And so one of my postures is tries to be, I don't defend myself. And just one of those things. But here we do see in this letter, there will be critics of leaders. And so, by the way, if you're a leader, it's going to come. And then in verse 6 on, he lays out what Christian leadership should look like. And the overarching picture here in this passage is one of a parent. Christian leadership is mainly that of a parent. For example, verse 7, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. In verse 11, so we dealt with each of you as leaders. We dealt with you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and so on. And so if the church is a family, it makes sense that there's this picture of a mother and a father as spiritual leaders. And while families look different in different cultures, right? Families look different in different time periods. There are some general rules that families have right across time. For example, kids don't run the house. Amen, Jeff? Amen, Jeff, yes. And parents can't like abuse their kids or, right, or right, amen? I mean, no, there's some general rules, some general guidelines, and the same is true as the church being a family. But I want to point out before I dive into kind of what this looks like, you have to be careful here. This is just an illustration, okay? There are some attributes of Christian leadership that we should not emulate as parents. For example, I would say a Christian leader does not have the same authority that a parent has over a very young child. Would you agree with that? We see power and authority in God's kingdom is different than power and authority in the world. Very different. For example, Jesus said this in Matthew 23, but you are not to be called rabbi, for you have but one teacher, and we're all brothers. And don't call anyone your earthly father, for you have one father, and he's in heaven. In other words, look, yes, leaders are spiritual mothers and fathers, but not the kind of parents that just demand obedience from young kids. No, this is not about a hierarchical relationship. This is about mutual submission and love. Relationships that parents should have, especially as kids get older, right? This is why 1 Thessalonians says, surely you remember brothers and sisters our toil and hardship. This is like Paul, the leader, the guy who found this church saying, but we're brothers and we're sisters too. And so Riverside is, we're brothers and we're sisters and we're all ultimately under the authority of Jesus. Amen? He is the lead pastor of this church. But there's still an aspect of Christian leadership that relies heavily on the parenting model. It just does. And it's very helpful. Back to verse 7. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. It's interesting. If anyone in the New Testament would have been a man's man, like the caricature of a man's man, it would have been Paul. Paul was beaten and he went back for more. He was stoned. He was thrown in prison. In Acts chapter 13, he strikes someone blind. I mean, this is like if you're going to make a character of a man's man, he's the guy. He gets shipwrecked and he keeps going, right? I mean, if you had to pick a man's man in the New Testament, it'd be Paul, which is why I think it's so important that he says, I act as a pastor, as a Christian leader, like a nursing mom. Beautiful. Beautiful. And by the way, this is not an isolated thing. It's not. For example, Galatians 4:19, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth. Look what's being borrowed to paint the picture of leadership. Pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul uses the image again of nursing a young child. There's all this feminine imagery used for Christian leadership in the Bible. It's beautiful. And it's there because God himself describes his leadership at times in the same way. For example, Isaiah 42. This is God speaking. For a long time, I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back now. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp. Isaiah 49, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she's born? Of course, the answer is no. But he says, well, look, even if she could, I will never forget you. God says he's given birth like a mother and he's nursed like a mother. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus describes his posture as a mother hen. just longing to gather her little chicks. And that brings us back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Isn't that beautiful? That is critical, critical leadership principles, especially in the church. Have you ever seen a mother relate to her baby? I mean, it's intimate. It's powerful. That's Christian leadership. I mean, latched with the baby and on the floor and willing to play and get down on the child's level. And there's this nursing has got this deep, physical, intimate bond. And this is Christian leadership. Affectionate love. Caring and intimately sharing life together. It's important. The Bible does not just use masculine, things. There's no larger than life CEOs. No, it's that of a nursing mom caring for a child. Christian leadership should have genuine affection as we lead. The way a mother leads. It's so powerful. Now, of course, the passage also uses the image of a father. Father, verse 11, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging and comforting and urging you to live worthy lives. So I think you also say, what should a father be doing to an earthly kids? Well, they should be encouraging and comforting and urging worthy lives of God, right? Friends, I'll just, men in the room who have kids, men, fathers, we have so much power to influence and to lead our kids and to emulate this in Christian leadership as the church as well. By the way, verses 9 and 10 show how both mothers and fathers labor hard and both mothers and fathers sacrifice for their kids. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and our hardships. We work day and night in order not to be burdens to anyone while we preach the gospel to you. You are witnesses, and so it is with God, how holy and righteous and blameless we were among you. In other words, Christian leadership is never do as I say, not as I do. Amen? And if Christian leader ever says, well, do as I say, but not as I do, you should run. I mean, the picture here, as every parent probably knows, is that the faith is more caught than it is taught. It's more caught as we do life together than it is taught, which means like, if we want to learn how to study the scriptures like together, it can't just be one-way communication. We got to do it together in groups and smaller. If you want to like, well, how do I have a devotional life? Me having a sermon on it's going to be pointless. What if we modeled together? You just came and showed up at my house one morning. We just have a devotional. You watch how I do it. Like it's caught, not taught. Christian leadership absolutely is a monkey see, monkey do kind of thing. It's absolutely a monkey see, monkey do, not a do as I say, not as I do. So if you lead a home group, right, and you want to ensure there's no gossip in your home group, how do you do that? You better never gossip, not even go near that, right? And honor people even in a way that makes it clear like you're not going to gossip, right? If you want transparency in your group, you got to go first. As a spiritual mother, as a spiritual father, we have to encourage and comfort and urge. And this looks, I know this looks different families, but my wife and I, we are very different people. My wife and I are very different people. And there's just stuff that she's able to instill in my kids that I cannot. It's amazing. She drives my sons back to college typically, and she'll come back and talk about the conversations they had. I'm going, why won't they talk to me about this? And I can talk to them about things that, it's just amazing. I mean, and when I get to come alongside my sons, and my daughter, but my sons, and kiss them on the forehead. And they're 20, by the way. I still hug them. I mean, real men put their arms around their kids and hug. Sorry, Owen, I'm your dad's right there. I'm so sorry. It's just wonderful, though. And this is what Christian leadership's supposed to be. It's an image, right? I'm not going to go around and just kiss Jeff on the forehead. Okay. I'll put my arm around him, though. I love this man. We absolutely put my arm around him. Absolutely will. We need this kind of stuff in the church, friends. Really good mothers and fathers encourage their kids, and they care for their kids. And they comfort their kids, and they comfort them in insecurities and struggles. And all of this is done so that we as the family of God, so we as brothers and sisters can, as verse 12 says, live worthy lives of God who calls us to the kingdom in his glory. And I can just tell you, friends, as we vote on our elders, and most likely we'll commission them. We've never had a no. We've never had a slate not go through. If it goes through and we commission our elders, I can tell you that our slate going forward are filled with people like this. I am so excited what God's going to do as our future elders emulate mothers and fathers in this church. But before we do that, I want us to take communion together, because as 2 Corinthians 1 says this, it says this: praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and all God, and the God of all comfort. So this morning we're going to take communion together. If you don't have elements, just raise your hand and Jeff will go around and make sure you get one. If you're with us online, go grab something to eat and drink. We're going to take this together as a church family together this morning. If you take the top film off, you'll get to the wafer. There's a second film there with the cup. And we'll take this together as a family, a little family meal together. So, on the night before, our lead pastor was crucified, right? The night before he was betrayed, the leader of this church, he was sitting down with his brothers, his band of brothers, his loved ones, his church. He said, I'm about to die. This will be my body broken for you. So when you guys gather, do this remembrance to me. Take this bread and break it. Remember my body broken for you. And then together, share a meal to remember me. So church family, this is the body of Christ broken for us. Let's do this in remembrance of him. Interesting. One of the Gospels and say they ate the meal together, and then at the end of the meal, he took a cup. Like it's not just a religious ceremony. They actually like had a meal together, right? At the end of the meal, they said, "You know what? This cup is a symbol of my blood. My new covenant will be shed for you. When you get together, do this in remembrance of me." So, friends, the blood of Christ shed for us. We do this in remembrance of that. Jesus, I pray that there'd be many meals throughout this week and this month and all of 2023 where you're glorified through this church. Many meals where we break bread, we celebrate your goodness, we yield to your lordship, we put ourselves underneath your authority as our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our lead pastor. So we yield, Father. We yield, Spirit. We yield, Jesus. I pray that as we have meals together and we worship together and we have events together, that we would glorify you as we love each other, as we grow in love for each other. So teach us how to love. Teach us how to love. And I pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Riverside Church. For more resources, visit riverside.church.